Bible today. This is the strategic opportunities. These are the strategic opportunities that were identified by the groups that met all day Tuesday. So we're going to keep returning to this today because what we're after today is sort of concrete solutions and ways forward, both individually and collectively. So I'll keep I'm going to try to keep us on track, keeping in mind what the groups on Tuesday came up with. So we have a number of speakers, and let's get started. Hal Hamilton is the director of Sustainable Food Lab in the United States. So please welcome Hal Hamilton to kick things off this morning.
It's almost tempting to apologize to be a speaker at this thing. The Sustainable Food Lab is not a laboratory in the sense one thinks about test tubes and petri dishes and such things. It's a leadership lab. There's a tradition of leadership labs around the sort of MIT, Society for Organizational Learning world. The Sustainable Food Lab began about 6 years ago as a leadership project of about 30 multi-stakeholder people from business, NGOs, and the public sector from U.S., Europe, and Latin America in the food industry. The goal is to mainstream sustainability in the food industry. I come at it from having been a farmer. This is embarrassingly long ago when I was a young adult, a dairy farmer. And now, this is last summer, I still do this in leisure time making hay on a little farm in Vermont. So just to tee it up just a little bit, global agriculture is responsible. Agriculture in the world is responsible for how we take care of half the land on Earth, half the habitable land, 70% of the water. It employs a billion people or more, and of course it feeds everybody. And among the big challenges before us, these are not unfamiliar, but they're big. We need to double up the output of food over the next few decades with using much less energy, using water much better, and also now producing fuel as well as feed and fiber and food. We need to feed and house the billion-plus people who are desperately poor in the world. We need to learn to run the whole economy, including agriculture, on sun instead of oil, reducing emissions and sequestering carbon. And I'm not going to talk about it, but we have a whole cluster of projects about quantifying carbon and supply carbon in agriculture and creating incentives, not just in formal carbon markets, but also in supply chains for the reduction of greenhouse gas emissions and the increased sequestration of carbon in the soil. And, of course, we need to replenish as much water as is removed, which we're certainly not doing now. Businesses are increasingly asked to be responsible for impacts all the way through the chain. One thing I think of from time to time, it's not from the food industry, but when Nike was criticized for sweatshop conditions in factories in Asia, Nike's response to the NGO critics at first was, well, those aren't our factories. We're just a design and marketing firm. That's somebody else's problem, right? Well, that didn't work in the media and with the NGOs. So Nike, in fact, learned to establish social codes of conduct and do audits and take some responsibility, imperfect, of course, but some responsibility for the whole supply chain all the way upstream. And that's beginning to happen in the food industry, where, like it or not, in a certain way, companies are asked to take responsibility all the way through the chain. A good friend of mine is a senior vice president at General Mills, and a few years ago we were having a meeting at General Mills, and he was describing footprinting General Mills' supply chain on environmental criteria, and he pointed to where the biggest impacts were upstream in agriculture for several different elements of this footprint. And then he said, well, we can't do anything about that. Let's go on and talk about packaging, right? So that's kind of a typical response, is packaging is something that General Mills has direct control over. They do not have direct control over the upstream farm end of the value chain, except in certain products like Green Giant vegetables, where they actually do contract directly for the vegetables. So learning how to take responsibility for the oats in the Cheerios is something that they're all in the process of trying to figure out how to do. The food lab, as I said, is it started out as a leadership project. It's now become a membership organization. All these organizations pay to be part of the food lab, and they receive pre-competitive kind of support, tools, consulting, that sort of thing. And as you can see, they're big companies, small companies, as well as NGOs and a few universities. And I'm going to talk about one particular domain of innovation that we cultivate. It's an innovation incubation space, and this is going to be about value chain innovations aimed at smallholder livelihood in developing countries. Smallholders, like the sort of things that Tom Reardon was talking about yesterday. Smallholders in developing countries beginning to sell into or selling into formal markets. Formal markets might be in the local capital. Formal markets might be in the developed countries. And frankly, there's a little more leverage right now in the export crops for introducing sustainability criteria into purchasing, because of the consumers in Europe and the U.S. are banging on the companies more than the consumers in developing countries are to be responsible for the impacts of the procurement. So it's all sort of obvious, but one needs for these value chains capable farmers and willing buyers and the enabling environment. Our role is primarily in linking the NGO support of farmers to upgrade their capacity to sell into these markets, and the downstream private sector willingness to adapt buying practices to serve the needs of the value chains that incorporate the smaller farmers. The buyers are obviously influenced by consumers, the media, public expectations. Our role is in the middle. It helps when we have a pot of money to pay for some of the support of the farmers. We have, for example, an ongoing partnership with the Gates Foundation and a number of value chains from Africa. So we do the facilitation, capacity building, coaching, project management. The farmers develop intermediaries that can serve their needs as well as serve the needs of the buyers. The buyers over time develop, these start with little feel-good projects, and the goal, of course, is to build these into the core strategy of the companies, which increasingly is part of the scene anyway. Unilever, I know there was a sustainable agriculture meeting a couple years ago where one of the senior people in Unilever described smallholders as one of the greatest untapped sources of supply left. So it's a very practical kind of thing. NGOs provide a lot of different support, certification systems, certainly the Rainforest Alliance, Fair Trade, OOT certified, all that sort of thing. This whole domain of support provided by NGOs, and the public sector obviously has a role in investing in infrastructure in order to make all this work. And Tom Reardon was talking about that yesterday. We start with a buyer who wants to know what's going on in their own value chain. That's usually the way we start, with an existing or emerging value chain, and it starts with an assessment that holds a mirror of the chain up to all the parties, which includes mapping flows, assessing current performance, identifying services and structures that are needed, and identifying bottlenecks to make it more effective. And this is one example in a chain of white beans grown by about 25,000 farmers in Ethiopia, small farmers, that are now just beginning late last year. There's a new sort of socially responsible value chain with more coordination in the chain, that are ending up on Asda supermarket shelves in the UK as baked beans. And the The analysis led to a number of interventions from new varieties and pricing structure, better management practices and storage at the farmer end, and a still evolving effort to help, in this case, Premier Foods in the UK, develop a little bit of branding language that describes their commitment to this chain. And when commodity prices collapsed in late 2008, this was one contract that held because everybody involved in it had already put a lot of personal effort into trying to make it work. And so there was a certain commitment to hold on to this contract even as prices were collapsing. The core of this, what we call a new business model, is traceability and putting a face on the farmers to the manufacturer, and then enough conversation and sharing of information so that problems can be solved together. And in fact, market innovations so that farmers can know more over time what the market is wanting in terms of quality and variety and all that sort of thing. And as I said, we try to help the manufacturer in this case put a socially responsibility story on these baked beans. We started this kind of method that we've been developing for assessment and co-improvement, sort of facilitating co-improvement, with a value chain for Costco, which in the United States is it's about a $60 or $70 billion wholesale. Well, it's not a wholesale. It's a retail club. But at any rate, a competitor with Walmart, they don't like to talk about what they do, but they do a lot of really interesting things in this social responsibility and sustainability domain. They wanted to know how the farmers were doing in a supply chain for green beans, sort of upscale, already sliced haricot vert that they were getting from Guatemala. And so we teamed them with a research-based NGO, the International Center for Tropical Agriculture, which is part of the CJIAR network. Always hard to say that. And hired some university kids from Guatemala City, interviewed farmers, interviewed people in the co-op. Everybody opened their books to one another in the whole value chain. A lot of conversation about the share of value up and down the chain. And had a summit in place with the senior people from Costco as well as the co-op leaders and a wholesaler. Costco originally thought that they would do this assessment in order to figure out how to get rid of the middleman, the wholesaler. They figured out that actually the wholesaler had established a kind of an insurance fund for the farmers to buffer the volatility of prices and hold on to contracts in bad years, and they were extremely valuable in this supply chain. So, you know, obviously that didn't happen. They thought they were buying from about 300 farmers in Guatemala. It turned out that there were 5,000 Mayan families up in the hills feeding into this supply chain, whose income went up fivefold when they got integrated into this formal market. And Costco got so excited about that, they decided to create a community foundation, invest so many cents a crate of green beans now are going into a community foundation that's now run by the daughter of the co-op president, and investing in not only upgrading the skills of more of the Mayan farmers up in the hills to feed into the supply chain, but also investing in some of the healthcare and educational needs of the farmers. So it was a wonderful project. The woman from Costco was a lawyer at Costco. She went back and told her CEO she wanted to do more of these projects. He said no. She said, I can't not do this. She eventually won the fight and is now in procurement and doing this kind of thing in a whole lot of other categories. On a whole different kind of scale of things, Unilever, one of our anchor companies, has decided to certify all Lipton tea, which is 12% of the world's black tea, considered which certification to use, ended up developing a partnership with Rainforest Alliance, and it means upgrading the conditions of a whole lot of farmers and the conditions on a whole lot of plantations. So this is the final little slide with our sort of theory of how pilot projects turn into major systemic change. So it starts with market signals. Then companies in the sector start to compete for sustainability leadership. Becomes part of what it means to be a leading company in the space. They need to develop partnerships in value chains to test out how to embed sustainability into their procurement practices, into their strategy. These projects in specific value chains migrate into becoming more and more part of the core strategy of the company. Meanwhile, the NGOs and governments learn that the private sector can be valuable partners. And in fact, by partnering with one of our experiments has been with, our experience has been with Oxfam, which has for years campaigned against the business sector. They're now learning actually that they can achieve their mission more effectively by partnering with the business sector. Everybody develops habits of partnership. They develop industry-wide pre-competitive collaborations. The Food Lab, the Sustainable Food Lab, is only one of many. And our role is to facilitate a community of leaders that crosses over these different organizations, to pilot innovations, to support them as they support these companies as they evolve their own internal strategy, and to document and share learning, which we do experientially as well as in with case studies and meetings and seminars and that sort of thing. So how about that?
Excellent.
Right on time. And there's a website. Anything's easy to find on the web anymore. Huh?
There are no prizes for being on time, but I'm very grateful.